is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We appreciate you, the suspects, and taking us along on the ride wherever you may be in the big city on this Thursday. You got a comedian of the week for tomorrow, buddy?
Of course.
You want to do that whole grab the mic?
Do you need, you don't need the again. Name now, do you?
No. Okay. Unless Nick wants to start getting a head start so he can have more fun.
No, just... but there was somebody that we knew that signed up improv. Or no, that was Chingo last
week. Yeah, that was Chingo last week, yeah.
All right, so we'll have an FEF Friday for you tomorrow, and we will have a comedian of the week, I hope. And we'll have lots of good stuff like camp updates with people joining us after covering Lions-Texans leading up to that game this weekend. So we'll talk to the likes of Sarah Barshop, ESPN's beat writer for the Texans, Cody Stutes, who is a attendee at practice daily and can give us some of his insights. He writes for SportsMap on it as well. And, of course, during the course of this hour, we're also going to give you an opportunity to win Brewmaster Beer Fest tickets because we just are the gift that keeps on giving. We'll find a way to give you an opportunity to win a couple tickets to that down at Moody Gardens. So stay tuned for that in hour number two as we just kick it all off right here.
Right here.
Right now.
Right now. I went to talk to Cody and the Azman about Cody tomorrow. And Jake, he goes, I heard y'all playing the Mike Francesa audio. He goes, that used to be my show. Like, I was actually on that show.
It was literally his idol. Like, he loved.
I was like, well, your idol is awful at radio.
Wait. What about Palillo?
Oh, that'd be the one guy probably that he reveres over Palillo.
Yeah. By the way, y'all know he's listening, right? Like, he can hear you.
I don't care.
Because he heard us play it.
I don't care.
He can hear you.
If he came in here, aside from the fact that he's probably going to say it to Cody and we'll hear it from here anyway, but if he came in here, he would not deny the fact that the two guys at the top of his idol-like list would be Francesa and Charlie Palillo, I would think.
Is it? Do you think it's a man crush kind of thing with Palillo?
It's a New York thing.
Oh, okay.
Syracuse. Boom. I thought he didn't go to Syracuse. He went to Ithaca. He's an Ithaca bomber.
He is.
That's what they're called. They're Ithaca bombers.
I didn't know that.
But he said that that guy, Eddie in Hoboken, that called has been trolling Francesa for years now.
Why do you take the call if you know he's probably savvy enough.
Let me finish. He said that that whole show is a joke because Francesa like lives in this bubble that he has no idea that the show is just a mockery of itself. That Francesa thinks, I'm killing it. And that everyone realizes he's not. He just doesn't know.
Yeah. It's just such a big fan base.
That's just
there.
Awesome.
I mean, I guess you can get away to – how long has he been doing it? 3 decades now, right? 2 or 3 decades.
It's been a long time.
Yeah,
it's been a very long time.
Why is he? What happened?
What?
Your computer's making all kinds of noises again.
I'm sorry.
A professional. Jeez. Come on.
Thanks for pointing it out. That was very professional.
the whole freaking listening now audience
gotta,
heard it.
Got to start it over. 3, 2. Hey, what up, H Town?
God, that's not a start we wanted. Hey, here's the other thing, though, Nick, to your point. When we had that guy that was the evil cab driver from Galveston, we have interns answering the phone, they could just say a different name. And so if we don't see Eddie from Hoboken on the screen and we see, you know.
Eyebrows Jerry.
Yeah. We're going to take it and not be able to screen it. So it's tough because, remember, there was voice changes and name changes just so that when they got on, they could go and take the zinger.
Oh, you Mike tried it forever.
Who?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's my bad.
Yeah, way to go. Way to bust your own rule.
Yeah. I don't know what happened there.
All right. So, by the way, Pink Valkyrie already requesting cheers. So you can tell it's going to be that kind of a night tonight. I don't have any. If you guys have or ways to get her some of that, please help her out.
Yeah, I don't have any currently on me. So
I would say that one thing we should do is, like, you know, when you go to parties, there's always they leave you with like a gift bag.
Right.
Sometimes. I would think that on the way out, the gift for the people leaving tonight should be some cheers.
A couple of cheers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Norm, Sam.
I got you. That makes sense.
Coach.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there.
I wanted to. So there's an issue going on right now So have you been keeping up with the Epstein thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see this bizarre painting that they found at his house?
The Clintons with the dress on and all that?
I didn't see that part. I've been keeping up with the story, but I didn't see that part.
The whole Jeffrey Epstein thing, the big to-do right now is that the Clintons did it. That's what everybody... The conspiracy theories are is that he had enough information to bring down the Clintons and the president and all these other people. So there's this conspiracy theory that... That, you know, there's that, what do they call it? The Clinton body count, where like the tinfoil hat wearers are all saying, oh, the Clintons have had all these different people killed over the years, and that Epstein was another one. And now I'm a cynic when it comes to, I'm a skeptic when it comes to that stuff. Even with the JFK thing and the mob in Cuba, there was something weird that happened there, but I don't know. But I also think we landed on the moon and it wasn't staged, right? So there's some conspiracies that I'll entertain. I don't necessarily buy into 100%, but I could be convinced either way. I'm almost an agnostic when it comes to conspiracies.
Yeah, and this whole thing was stirred up by, what is it, a comedian that did a whole video that Trump actually retweeted to really get it going about the Clinton conspiracy aspect.
I don't know how it started, but I know when Epstein was found in his jail cell, now there's questions of the guard. He was supposed to be under 24-hour surveillance. Right. Every 15 minutes, somebody was supposed to check on him. They hadn't checked on him in 30 minutes at least. And then the person that was there wasn't a guard, an employee of the state or something like that.
There were
these weird circumstances.
They were fudging the records, too. They were saying they checked on him, and they didn't. There was all that, too.
Well, what's really weird is that they went to Epstein's house and
his house or his private island? Did you see that?
No.
He had a private island in the Caribbean and they raided that as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe that was it. But either way, this was his Manhattan townhouse.
Okay.
So he had an oil painting of Bill Clinton in a blue dress lounging in a chair in the Oval Office. And they found this.
It's Mrs. Doubtfire.
It really, it's weird. And he's pointing at the camera, and Bill Clinton is wearing a blue dress, and he's got on red high heels, and he's sitting in a chair, and this is the Oval Office. And now, again, I set this all up by saying I'm an agnostic when it comes to these conspiracies, but that makes you pause for a second and go, that's kind of weird. I don't know if it's an obsession of Epstein with the Clintons and Bill Clinton, and that's why the painting, or if it was a joke or what.
Yeah.
But that becomes something where you're like, that's creepy.
It really is.
Why would you – if I wanted a picture of the president, I would get a picture of the president looking presidential, right? Looking stately.
Sure.
Not in a blue dress with red heels on pointing at the painter or the camera if this was a photo that was then painted.
Is there a cigar in that?
No. Ironically, though –
Because he's wearing a blue dress. That I was going to say, that's the Monica Lewinsky thing.
Yeah, I just found it weird. And I think now that just caused this whole Clinton conspiracy thing to just, manifest itself even more.
But again, there was video and rumors that he was friends with Trump for a long time. There was video of the two of them sitting there at events talking to each other, and then Trump was very quick to distance himself, going, "Yeah, that not for many years. That that's all changed." But this guy probably, no pun intended, but he probably had dirty pictures of a lot of people that people didn't want out. I'm sure the minute he was arrested, there were a lot of people that held their collective breath, going, "Because if any of this is true, and the fact that he was trafficking teenage girls for governors and congressmen and big time businessmen," and you're like, wow. I mean,
There was also something else where a woman who visited Epstein confirmed that he also had a mannequin hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, I saw that. That was weird.
Dressed up in a wedding gown.
What?
The same lady who took the picture of Clinton in a blue dress.
Yeah.
Saw a mannequin, but she didn't take a picture of that.
But it was hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah.
And it was in a wedding gown, and it was above a staircase. That's creepy.
Just weird.
Yeah. That dude's obviously bizarre in a lot of different ways.
If you have people over to your house, that's not a conversation piece. That's the thing where people, aside from poltergeist, going, get out. The minute you see something like that hanging from the top of a staircase, you're like, you know what? I'm out. Yeah, appreciate it. I forgot I had something to do.
Do people react like that in 1993, though? Because what was deemed creepy back then, honestly?
That? I would imagine having a mannequin hanging from your ceiling.
Wait a minute.
I agree.
I think that would be creepy.
I feel like 93?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, that's a good point.
I mean, a good, like, back then in that era, like, people were getting away with so much crazy stuff that perhaps in their mind that wasn't creepy. But I'm not saying it's not creepy. I think it definitely is creepy. But it was a different time.
Yeah, it's one thing to have like a kind of a off-base painting or something like that that's a conversation piece. Not saying that that Clinton painting is, but I'm saying it's one thing to have something like that.
Right,
but
something abstract.
But if you have something that is as bizarre as the Clinton painting and something like a mannequin hanging from your ceiling in a wedding dress, you got some splaining to do. Not casual conversation going, that reminds me of the time I was at a bar with the dogs playing pool in that painting.
That's some Buffalo Bill and Silence of the Lamb type stuff. Yeah. That's where there's a secret room where he makes masks out of human skin kind of thing.
Yeah, I told you about Ed Gein. That's the guy that did that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Isn't he from Milwaukee?
Not from Milwaukee.
They're all from Milwaukee.
That's Jeffrey Dahmer. Ed Gein's from up in northern Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
He used human skin to make lampshades and things from people he kills.
So what's easier to explain?
That makes it better.
No, I didn't say that.
Which is easier to explain, a mannequin or the picture of Bill Clinton in the blue dress? Which one is easier to explain?
The painting, because he didn't have it commissioned necessarily. He bought it. So someone else decided to paint a picture of Bill Clinton in a blue dress and red heels. But the fact that you got this guy that's tied to the Clintons and the sex scandals and all this other, makes it even weirder. Almost like an obsession thing or diminish Clinton's stature necessarily. Yeah, there's a lot of different emotional
Nick,
things.
Nick, you come over to the townhouse and I can say, funny thing about that Clinton painting, there's a story behind it. When I bought it, it was because he was doing this and this. You try and do that with a mannequin hanging in a wedding dress over the... Funny thing is, the last time that I had a girlfriend that... I'm trying to come up with something,
but
you
I can't.
You ain't doing it. Oh. My girlfriend had a thing about weddings, so to get her in the mood, I hung a mannequin in a wedding dress over the staircase. No.
Yeah, that's creepy.
It's weird.
Yeah.
All right, we're rolling through hour number two. Still got plenty more to get to in the big show. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. And before we go to break.
Yeah, hey, I'm going to tell you guys about GetUpside. I am so pumped about this, man. I've been using it for a while now, and the results that I'm getting are really good, and I know a lot of people out there are sending me their screenshots. Somebody sent me one yesterday, and I love getting them. I love getting these success stories. And the cool thing is you're already spending the money. And if you don't know what GetUpside does, it gets you cash back for the things you're already paying for, like gas and food. So it's a free app. You put it on your phone. There's no commitments. You're not tied in long term. If you don't like it, you just stop using it. It's that simple. But a lot of us at the station are using it. I'm using it. Nick's, AJ is, Jay Gasman, who we mentioned earlier, Aaron and his wife are. Argue over who's going to use it and fill up the cars and get the cash back in their account. We love it. Listeners love it. You're going to love it. ABC 13 has featured it. And this is the way it works. You pull up a map. You say, oh, I'm going to go fill my car up over here at this gas station. And it's offering, let's say, 10 cents a gallon cash back. Now, you can get up to 25 cents a gallon. And we've mentioned places around the city where you can get that deal at 25 cents a gallon. There's over 500 gas stations total. So you're going to find good deals all over. And then let's say on the way home, you're like, I'm going to stop and get some Wendy's or Popeyes or something else that's listed in the app. You can get up to 35% cash back on that purchase. And this is every single time. So it's not just a one-time deal. You can get that cash back on your fill-ups and your food every single time, but you got to use the GetUpside app and make sure you put in my promo code Barry to get a little bump in that first fill-up through the app. Guys, it's simple to use. It's easy. You're wasting money if you're not on GetUpside. So go download it right now. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Rolling through round number two of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio as we head to the midway point in the show, and then we take you all the way till 4. Blitz takes you till 7, all right here on ESPN 97.5.
A couple of texts from the text line. Mm-hmm. Uber Mike said, I will volunteer my Uber services for constant jokes on the way home. If I'm drunk, you probably won't get any jokes. It'll just be gibberish and nonsense. So I appreciate the offer, but I still need my car to get to work on Friday, too. So that becomes the other issue.
True. Or you can just stay the night at the Palatial Laminack Manor and then just drive you back into work.
We're not going to start offering listeners to spend the night at my house.
Nick before, so just offer it to one of our listeners that's going to be have a courtesy car for you.
Listener is going to get to stay with you?
I don't need one because I don't drink.
Well, I said I wasn't going to drink. I'm going to have one or two.
You don't drink, but on special occasions you'll drink, right?
I'll have one or two tonight.
By you guys.
Joel will get hammered tonight.
Hammered him?
Not tonight.
Hey, Barry, what site did you say you use for fantasy drafts? Footballguys.com. And, well, as a matter of fact, Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com will be joining us in the next segment at 2:30. So we're going to do some research for you. We're going to talk specifically with Sigmund about draft strategy, stock, who to look out for, who to avoid, stuff like that. So we're gonna start firing that up. I'm excited to have Sigmund Bloom back with us again. His first segment of the new year, new football year, will be coming up at 2:30. So make sure you stick around for that. And the last text was somebody said, what are your thoughts on this Instagram chick, Lily Adrian? So let me spell this for you guys. Everyone get out your Instagrams. Get ready. We're doing that exercise again. It is L-I...
Before you do other exercises.
Well, you might. Trust me. I pulled a hammy several times during the... L-I-L-Y dot A-D-R-I-A-N-N-E. Lily Adrian. L-I-L-Y-A-D-R-I-A-N-N-E. I'm going to go 8 out of 10. I'm going to go 8 out of 10. She's got 1.1 million followers.
The second picture makes her look like the Octomom.
No, wow. Does it really?
It's bad.
It really does.
It does.
Why did you just run? Now she's a 3.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, I just.
I was going to agree with an 8. I was going to agree with an 8, but then you said that.
Scroll down to the photo of her playing Twister. I'm back to an 8.
Where's the.
Twister. Damn near killed her.
No doubt.
Right? Yeah, I don't know. It's about midway down, I guess. Maybe 4 or 5 rows. But the photo of her playing Twister. I'm going to just avoid looking at the Octomom photo and keep my recommendation of an 8.
Or the lingerie with Lily the peekaboo back door.
Peekaboo?
Yeah, that too. What?
The seatbelt shot, also very nice. Also high quality seatbelt shot.
Oh.
No, not
that's
that one.
Too. The seatbelt shot.
Yeah, there's a lot. So appreciate that texter. Yes, I give her an 8.
New Zealand.
Is that where it says?
Middle Eastern New Zealand.
Oh.
Is what it says on her profile. That's interesting.
All right. There you go. I feel like we just need to start doing this once so we can have it sponsored.
I think you're right. I think it probably could be because the people appreciate it. They know when we tip them off to a
That's right. And then they're starting to give us theirs. So look at that. Everybody wins here.
And our good friend should always get a shout out, Taryn Hilo.
Yes.
It is bikini season, and that is her business.
Is there any pictures of her playing Twister?
I don't know.
Yeah, you have to go to her Twitter account. I highly recommend following her on Twitter. Is she also on Instagram?
Oh, yeah.
Is she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, she is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just stick to the Twitter's account with her. And she did have a really good quote, which I really liked. She said, never confuse what you're offered for what you're worth. Love that quote.
Mm-hmm.
So I retweeted that. I can't retweet a lot of her stuff because my wife
start looking like your wife. Well, that makes
sense. One, I would look like a creeper.
Creep, yeah,
yeah. And I don't want her to think that because we have a working relationship, obviously with the radio and everything. And she's cool, and we talked about she had a sick animal, and I do too. And yeah, I don't want to be the creepy guy. So I was like, hey, nice shot. like Joel. So I
was going to say, you're already there with the creepiness, but you're going to do, okay, fine.
No, so I try not to like any of them or retweet them. You ever done that accidentally? Especially Joel, you have to worry about this like me, especially on Instagram, where it shows you, if you go to somebody's Instagram account, you can see their recent activity. So if you like an Instagram model's photo, your wife can go to your account and see. And I accidentally, like, I think one night that's it was late, and I might have fixed my glaucoma for the evening. Mm-hmm. And got high. Uh-huh. And
you don't have to explain that.
I dropped the phone, and sometimes on Instagram you can double tap.
Which
and
is
when
a
you
like,
do
right?
that, it gives the little heart. And yeah. I think I accidentally, when I dropped my phone, I accidentally double tap on some hot chicks thing. And I was just like, oh my God. I didn't realize it until I started getting, like, I got some sort of, I don't remember what it was, but I was like, oh, she knows now.
Oh, yeah. She's. Because women know how to use Instagram better than men.
Oh, way
right?
better. Oh,
it's
way
not
better.
Even close.
So I just knew I was in trouble. My wife's pretty cool about that stuff, though.
Mine's not.
Nora, I mean, I'm blessed. When I was in the corporate world and traveled, and I would go, I would be like, you know, because a lot we would go to strip clubs on the road, and she didn't care. She was just like, we've always had that kind of relationship where we're real cool. I mean, she's not going to go to a strip club with me, but if we were on the road on business and somebody was like, hey, let's go to a strip club, you know, a lot of guys were like, I can't, man. My wife will kill me. I'd call Norm and be like, hey, the guys want to go to a strip club. I'm going to take
cool
out
about it.
Like 50 bucks. She'd be like, take out 200. I'm like, oh, okay.
I feel like they're either cool with it or not. There's no in between. So yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a total fact. Yeah. That's a total fact. Let me just clarify any misconceptions that might be out there. That's a fact.
Oh, my
God. Got
gosh.
That right. All right, so we're halfway through the show. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about them for a long time. Whether you're thinking about putting a new roof on the house or you've got a leaky roof and you want to get it repaired, there's only one place to go, and it's Fitz Roofing. They're locally owned and operated. You see their vehicles all around town. And the bottom line is they do fantastic work, and they have the ratings to back it up. If you go to FitzRoofing.com, you can get all the information. They have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor. And simply put, they use the best product to do the best job, and their base warranties are longer than your average roofer can give you. They use CertainTeed shingles. That is the best product on the market. And they're so good at doing what they do that they have been made a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet the criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. They take care of you, and they will do a free, no-obligation inspection on your roof today. All you got to do is call them, 832-521-3001. That's 832-521-3001. You set up your free, no-obligation inspection. They come to you, see what you got, tell you what they can do, and then they head off on their way. If you want to come back, you call them, and rest assured, they're going to do great work. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
The man, the myth, the legend, the best way to start the second half of The Usual Suspects has to be our first installment of catching up with Sigmund Bloom. If you don't know about him, then you guys are idiots, because if you are a fantasy football aficionado, there is only one guy and one source to get your information for your teams, for your drafts, and throughout the season. It's Sigmund Bloom. You can see him on Twitter at Sigmund Bloom. He's also the co-owner of footballguys.com, which is where you can get your Bible for everything fantasy football. Sigmund, always a pleasure to have you on. So delighted you're coming back for another year. How's everything going, my man?
Oh, great. You know, we're swimming around in the ocean of information. We've got lots of things coming in from camps and preseason, lots of moving targets, you know, even in with the Texans. You know, we're grappling with what does Duke Johnson's acquisition mean for this offense and my man Kiki Cutie and when he's going to be back on the field. So, you know, we're trying to keep our brain limber, flexible for everything that's coming in.
How do you guys keep up with that? I mean, with all the teams, and I'm sure the staff is limited, do you guys have boots on the ground, or do you coordinate with other folks? I mean,
yeah. Well, what's excellent about this day and age with social media and all the excellent outlets is we don't really need boots on the ground, because information is free-flowing and instant, and it's easy to curate through Twitter, through just online news sources. A pretty comprehensive look at everything going around. The part where you separate yourself is not necessarily whether you get the information, but what insight you have and how you anticipate how that will change things in the upcoming year.
I got a question for you right off the top with all that being said, Sigmund. A lot of times people now will evaluate – it used to be that obviously people evaluate the NFL to figure out their fantasy football teams. But now fantasy football ratings, just like the Madden ratings, have a result on people that play that watch the sport and bet on the sport and look for winners and losers in the sport. With that being said, Deshaun Watson is one of the top two or three quarterbacks for fantasy football this year, and a lot of people have taken note. What's your take on that? Because a lot of people can say, well, that's because the Texans are going to score a lot of points, their offense is going to be great. And on the flip side, people are saying, well, that's because they're going to be playing from behind and they're going to be putting up a lot of points because they're going to have to.
Yeah, well, look, especially speaking to a Houston audience, I have no problem with taking Deshaun Watson because fantasy football is supposed to be fun. And you're rooting for your team, or you're rooting for your favorite players, or you know, you're a Clemson fan and you just want to watch celebrate with him every Sunday. That's great. But at the quarterback position, I think that we can look at players like Matt Ryan, Baker Mayfield, Carson Wentz, Cam Newton. These guys are all going well after Deshaun Watson. I think they offer a lot of the same upside and maybe less risk. Because I think if we go back last year, and what was exciting was the possibility of a healthy Keke Coutee and a healthy Will Fuller. You know, neither of them are exactly healthy this moment. We'll see about Fuller for week one. But we saw last year that when Watson was thrown to the wolves behind that offensive line, you know, eventually he was bleeding inside of his body and he couldn't get on an airplane. So I think that this offense looked a lot better when they were a little more boring and ran the ball more. And hey, let's put Duke Johnson in there, and those short passes to him are effectively runs to keep the heat off of Deshaun Watson and create some longevity. So that risk really worries me if I'm looking to take a quarterback early. So for me, it won't be Watson, but I'm not talking anyone out of taking him.
Well, let's keep it in the division, but let's stick with the quarterback position. What do you do with Andrew Luck, and what's going on up there in Indy?
Yeah, it's been quite a week for the AFC South, right? I mean, Nick Foles almost retired because of his elbow thing. It totally went under the radar. Anyway, look, I don't trust the Colts. I don't know if they know exactly what's wrong with Andrew Luck. He's still experiencing pain. I think that it's something that could affect him during the season. It's something that could make him miss games. Jacoby Brissett's one of the best backups in the league. This team's got a good defense and a solid running game, so they can win games that old-fashioned way. So, yeah, you're moving T.Y. Hilton down. You're moving Marlon Mack down. You're looking at guys like Devin Funchess, Eric Ebron, Jack Doyle, even Paris Campbell, the rookie who's been sidelined with a hamstring injury. All of these guys are less attractive now, because this offense looks like it's going to be more limited one way or the other. And I still think that we don't exactly know what's going on with him.
So we can call it the Le'Veon Bell rule. But the question for you becomes, almost on a yearly basis now, what do you do when you're drafting and you know the holdouts are there, whether it be Melvin Gordon or Ezekiel Elliott? Obviously, the people that took Le'Veon Bell a year or so ago, he's apologized to because he just held out and made it the whole year. Do you take a flight? I mean, do you stick with your philosophy and say, hey, these guys are going to play week one, or they're going to play enough that I'm going to get something out of them? Or are you so apprehensive that you say, I got to go for a sure thing and not a guy that has too many question marks?
And I think you let your gut feeling as you go through the first few rounds of your draft determine that. But I'll tell you where the fantasy football hive mind is. Most people don't buy that Ezekiel Elliott is going to miss games or more than maybe a game in the regular season. He's still going fourth overall in a lot of drafts that I'm doing or never falling out of the first round. So at least the belief now is that he's going to be there. And most of the coverage around it has been positive and expecting something to get done. Melvin Gordon is a little trickier, because Melvin Gordon has his 4 years to be a free agent already, unlike Ezekiel Elliott. We've seen the Chargers in these situations, really, you know, it's messy, whether it was Vincent Jackson, who sat out more than half the season, or Joey Bosa, who sat out into the season over offset language, I think. The Chargers are not going to budge. There's no sign yet that Gordon's going to budge. And also, they have Austin Eckler. They have Justin Jackson. They were 4-0 without Gordon last year, so they have no reason to budge. So I think Gordon's falling more to the third round. I'm not even sure I would take him in the third round with guys like Devontae Freeman from Atlanta or Kerryon Johnson from Detroit there, who I think offer all the same upside. I might be looking more at Eckler in the seventh or eighth round, where the Cowboys only have a rookie, Tony Pollard, that they're very excited about. If you do take Ezekiel Elliott in the first round, take Pollard as one of your last picks. Because they're talking him up, I think, to posture Elliott, oh, we can get by without you. I think that's a little bit more of a drop-off. So we'll see what happens. I expect Elliott to be there for week one. Gordon, we may not see until midseason.
All right, well, let's keep it with the running backs. What do you do about Kareem Hunt? Obviously, when he gets back, he could pay huge dividends, especially down the stretch as you make a playoff push. When is too early to draft Kareem Hunt, but when is too late?
Sure. Well, first I want to say, before I get into Hunt, I'm not afraid of Nick Chubb.
Okay.
Because I'll take Chubb in the late first, early second round. I think in the first eight games, he'll be in the top five running backs easily.
Wow.
And he's set up for massive success this year. And even when Hunt comes back, he'll still be a solid contributor for us and help us get off to a hot start. I think with Hunt, the question comes down to how many bench spots you have. In those leagues where you maybe only have five spots on your bench and you have Kareem Hunt sitting there for 2 months plus, just taking one up, not contributing to your team, and denying you the opportunity to get somebody who breaks out early from the waiver wire, I don't think it's worth it. If you have 10 bench spots and you can just dedicate one to Hunt, then take him, because as it gets closer to his return, people are going to be excited. And look, even if he just gets 8, 10, 12 touches a week in the Cleveland offense, that could be enough to make him worth a flex play. And, you know, things happen, anything could happen. We know what he can do. So I think that if you want him, you probably have to take him in the 11th or 12th round. And I don't expect him to last much longer than that in most drafts because of name value. But don't be surprised if he gets dropped early if a team starts 0-3, 0-4, and they need to shake it up.
All right, so we've talked a little bit about names people know, but every year we also know that there are sleepers. You tip people off a little bit on the running back position. Yeah. But give us 3 to 5 sleepers out there that people might not know that they need to know to get a good quality pick in the draft.
Sure. Mark Andrews at tight end for Baltimore. He's having a great camp. He was so efficient with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's going to throw more. So if you wait at tight end, or even if you don't wait, take him late and he breaks out early. They face Miami, Arizona, and Kansas City to start the season.
Mm.
So those are some bad defenses. Andrews could really run wild up the field in the middle of those defenses. It could help Lamar Jackson get off to a hot start, by the way. At wide receiver, you know, Preston Williams is a name that people might not know in Miami. For that matter, Kalen Ballage, the second-year running back. Kenyon Drake is in a walking boot right now. Ballage might start week one against Baltimore. Preston Williams has been one of the stories of camp, undrafted free agent, but a lot of talent, really off-field stuff, kept him out of the draft. He and Josh Rosen had some good chemistry in that first preseason game. And Devontae Parker, the annual tease of training camp, he's hurt. So we could see Preston Williams as a week one starter, and there really is, this team is looking forward, they might give young players more chances.
All right, so let's talk a little bit. I mean, we wanted to bring you in early to start getting people ready for their drafts. So let's switch gears a little bit. We've got you some sleepers. We've talked a little bit about a few key positions. Let's talk about draft strategy, because everybody's strategy is a little bit different. But for folks that are maybe newer or don't really have a strategy going in, talk a little bit about the difference between PPR and non-PPR leagues. Just we'll keep it high level like that. And, you know, what is a good strategy position-wise? Because some people load up on running back early on. Some people will grab a quarterback in round one. What are strategies for the two different basic leagues, which is PPR and non-PPR? What's a good strategy?
Sure. So non-PPR leagues, or what we would call standard in some circles, just because that was the original fantasy football, really favored running backs. And that's why PPR scoring even came into existence, was to balance things out so the first two rounds weren't 20 running backs. And I think that the league has also gone away from bell cow running backs and towards more running back by committee. So it creates a little more similarity than there was, say, 10 or 15 years ago. But in non-PPR leagues, running back is still king. And you're still going to want to take two running backs in your first three picks, three running backs in your first four picks. And maybe also non-PPR leagues, because it takes some of the edge off of the upside of running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends, a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes might be worth more, because that advantage he gives you a quarterback is worth more with the overall scoring at other positions depressed. At PPR, you'll see a lot more value of those top wide receivers. You might start wide receiver, and then also that brings running backs into the mix like Duke Johnson or James White or Tariq Cohen or Austin Eckler, who, because of their receiving prowess, there's more running backs that are viable, that are relevant in fantasy leagues, so you can wait longer. But in general, I think this year there's depth at every position enough that you should just take your guys and not really try to game the system and take something from, you know, the sweet spot of positions. I think the third round's a good round for running backs. I think the sixth, seventh, eighth round is good for wide receivers. But otherwise, I think there are potential right answers at every position throughout the entire draft.
Okay.
There you go. That's Sigmund Bloom. And we know he is going to be with us throughout the year. He is the utmost expert on all fantasy football. So, Sigmund, give him a plug and you're a plug and tell everybody how to reach you.
Well, look, I mean, just the football guys, we've got a lot of stuff for you. My podcast, our Newswire, our daily newsletter that keeps you up to date on all the news you need to know. Those are all free, and our app is free this year, the mobile draft
office. Nice.
So this is going to be like having us look over your shoulder during your draft, anticipating things that are going to come. But if you're obsessive about fantasy football, you know, we are too. DFS, IDP, Dynasty, Superflex. If these words mean something to you, they mean a lot to us. And we love obsessing about football. So, you know, there's room for everybody there.
There you go, footballguys.com, or follow him on Twitter, at Sigmund Bloom. By the way, just do both, and you'll be doing yourself a favor. Sigmund, we'll talk to you again Thursday. We appreciate you, my man.
Look forward to it.
There you go, Sigmund Bloom. Good stuff, as always.
Dude, get that. I'm telling you guys, get that Draft Dominator app. I get it every year now, and I don't draft without it. It's worth every penny, and it's free.
Nothing wrong with that. When it's free, it's me. I'll take three, but I only need one. All right, so before the end of the hour, we are going to give away these tickets for the Brewmaster Beer Fest. So to tip you off, right before 2:55, we're going to give you a chance to win. So if you're listening on the app or the stream, you can plan accordingly. But before we hit 3 o'clock, we'll be giving away tickets to the Brewmaster Beer Fest. Stay tuned for that and a whole lot more. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Yeah, I try not to whine, but I must warn you.
I see your dirty face hide behind your collar. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second hour of the show. Rolling through that. Then we got another one to go. We've got all the way till 4. Blitz takes you till 7 on ESPN 97.5. This show that we were watching during the break that, Nick, you have on ESPN, I hope it's something that they took off of their day-long The Ocho, but it's called Slippery Stairs.
That's good times.
It's a lawsuit waiting to happen. They take people, male and female, and they coat them with all kinds of lube and a crash helmet, and they force them to climb up a flight of stairs that's probably a couple hundred stairs. The damage they're doing to one another when they slip and fall is like nothing you've ever seen before. Every time someone falls, it looks like they're going to put three more people in the hospital.
It's pretty outstanding. I feel like we should be doing this at the listener party.
Well, and especially when at the top of the staircase, you got the two hot chicks with the squirt guns from the swimming pool just doing nothing but
not
sending out.
That with big guys like Clarence and Jerry, dude. They're going to fall all over me.
That's the point. I want to see those guys. I want everyone from the weight loss challenge to also do the slippery stairs.
Can you imagine you had Trey,
that would be fun.
Juggalo Trey?
Oh, man.
And Pick Me Mike.
Oh, man. That would be a disaster.
Good Lord.
That would be a beautiful disaster.
Talking about a runaway bowling ball.
This has to be an event for the Gal Media Christmas party. It just has to be now.
Well, for you, you should just set it up for the interns. Yeah, this is normally what you would do. You would say, you know what, guys? Let's set this up in the parking lot. Padding minimal.
No.
There's a staircase. Right.
That's what I'm saying. We're going to go to the staircase. No padding. Cement stairs. It doesn't matter. Be tough. We're going to oil you guys up. We're going to oil the stairs up. First one, we're going to start at the ground floor. First one to make it to Gal Media wins.
No.
And then you get to run a game as an intern. I don't know. I think that would be fun, though.
I got a producer job and a broken hip all on the same day. No way. That is a crazy sport right there. That takes the whole cornhole championships to a different level.
That was pretty, no kidding, right?
Jeez. I wonder how much money they make from events, because honestly, I want to start my own sport, because they're pretty ridiculous at that point. How many different sports have we mentioned now? That's just, it requires no skill set, but they're getting TV time, they're getting advertising dollars. I want to start my own sport, man.
Cornhole, what would your sport be?
It'd be something so ridiculous, though. I'd probably include Juggalo Trey in it, too.
Anything with Juggalo Trey is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just a given.
Yeah. But he's also a built-in logo. Because all you need, like, what you think about the minor league baseball logos, if you had a cartoon tray doing whatever your team name was,
yeah,
you're going to sell tons of merchandise.
Agree.
I would agree with that, too.
Like, if the Sugarland Skeeters want to ever kind of do a redo on the whole logo and theme and everything like that.
Trey as
if
the
you
logo.
Were, if you were the Sugarland Juggalos and you put his logo on a hat.
You can't be Juggalos. You can't be the Sugarland Juggalos. Juggalos is already taken.
Is it, though?
Yes, the Juggalos from Insane Clown Posse.
I know. Okay, well.
So you can't be that.
Well, I can't that call, you stealing. Can't call them the Sugarland Jugs because that could get dicey.
No, that would be great.
Have bra night?
Yes.
Bra night at the Sugarland Jugs. The first 10,000 fans in the building get.
Yes. I like where this is going.
Custom fit undergarments.
This sounds like a good plan. This would get me out to a ball game.
I'm telling you. Nick and I are going tomorrow night.
Are you?
I am.
Sugarland Skeeters.
Fun time.
It's a good ballpark, man.
It's really a lot of fun at that stadium. Yep. And they got the kids playground in left field. They got a lot to do for the family out there.
Really?
Yeah.
Kids are not nice, though, when it comes down to taking turns, by the way.
Really?
Mm-mm. Like that little trampoline that they have for kids.
They wouldn't let you on?
No, they wouldn't let me. Neither one. All three kids in front of me wouldn't let me on. Could you believe that?
That's brutal.
No, but yeah, the trampoline stuff.
They got a full basketball court out there.
Do they? I didn't see that part.
They've got like a sandbox and a full playground for the kids.
Nice.
That's what Joel's going to be. He's going to be dunking on all the kids in the basketball.
Dang pool. Right.
You said they have a good hat selection, too.
Their logo and their hats are really good. Yeah.
I like the ones that, like, the one that has, like, what are these called? The ones with the
mesh?
Yeah, the mesh in them.
Well, so they have.
Like a fitted?
Either or.
See, they have one that's a fitted game hat, and it's camo on the back, but it's blue, gray, and yellow camo.
Oh.
So it's a different kind of camo on the back. White front. And blue visor with their Skeeter logo. And that's that stretch fit.
Okay.
Fitted.
Okay.
Really badass hat. I like that one. And there's another one that, because I already have the one from 4th of July last year, the red, white, and blue Skeeters hat, which was badass. But and then they also have one that has a yellow visor, blue back, white front with the state of Texas and a Skeeter that are good. But yeah, I got to get those hats. Those are good merchandise.
I know they do a lot of stuff. Let's hope they don't do anything like what the Fresno Grizzlies did.
Which was a former affiliate of the Astros.
And then have happen what happened.
What's that?
Grizzlies had a taco eating contest at a baseball game. Mm-hmm. And a man participating in the taco eating contest began choking on his food.
Oh, no. This year?
And he died.
No.
This year?
Why are we laughing? You're not. I'm not.
I did not expect that at all.
No, I just started laughing at Nick laughing at the dead guy.
The way you said it made me laugh.
Was that this year?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, no offense, but if you're the Astros, thank God you got out of that affiliation last year.
Yeah.
Because that's a lawsuit right there.
It was against the Memphis Redbirds at, I don't know how to pronounce the park, Chukchansi Park. He started to choke. The sheriff's department tried to, or they tried to help him, and he collapsed on the ground in the middle of the contest. That's what's crazy to me is that everyone's eating and he collapses. And you know, the first
they're not
thought
stopping.
The first thought is sweet, one down.
Yep.
You don't realize that he's down. Like, you don't never have to worry about him winning this contest or any other contest.
That is crazy.
Yep. And he died.
It sounds similar to that one. I don't know if it was a comic that you talked about, Barry. Who he said he had a joke about death or dying on stage, and then he actually died.
Oh, yeah.
It just reminds me of that story.
There was a, yeah, you're right.
But you remember when they were the Astros affiliate in Fresno, they became the Tacos, and that hat, Blummer had to have one, and it was the most popular hat and jersey in minor league baseball. It was a yellow, green, and white hat with a taco on the front, and then the jerseys. Brooke Lopez, during the playoffs, wore one of the Fresno Tacos jerseys after a game.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well.
No, I don't know that they'll be doing that promotion anymore.
Maybe they'll put like a little black stripe across the taco.
What was the name of the stadium
again? Like a band. I don't know. Chukchansi?
So instead of being the Tacos, did they become the Chukchansi Chokers? No? Okay.
It said that they tried to give him the Heimlich, like, and CPR, and then he collapsed. It says authorities have not determined the man's cause of death.
Come on now.
I'm pretty sure we all know. Yeah. If you were at, if you're standing there eating tacos and then you die, I think we all know what the cause of death
is. We know why you died, sir.
Second question is, who made the tacos? If they're, you're not a good taco maker if you're making tacos.
Well, and soft shell people. Makes a big difference. If you got the hard shell and it gets lodged, you're done.
That's what your teeth is for, bro.
Yeah.
I mean,
is that a risk now? Is that, is there going to be like people have to sign waivers for eating contests?
I'm sure that's going to be a liability. And you know what? I bet you he did. I bet. Look, if it's anything that's like true. What the Rockets do, everyone going on court doing anything has to sign a waiver.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
All right. It's 2:55-ish. So what we're going to do is we told you we're going to give away these Brewmaster Beer Fest tickets. So we'll take caller number 12 right now, 713-780-3776. You want a four-pack of general admission tickets Saturday, August the 31st. It's down at Moody Gardens. It's the Brewmasters Craft Beer Festival. You're going to want to be there. If you don't win them, it's brewmastersbeerfest.com. But again, caller number 12, 713-780-3776. Four-pack of tickets. Good luck. We'll be back with the final hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.